I don't see Leon.
Okay.
Here's what I have so far. I have Kay, Kim, myself, Melissa, Natalie, D, Barb. We have Tim from Pinion, and let's see, and Larry, and Alice is pulling a shift tonight, so she will be absent.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. Welcome, everyone, to the Arizona State Hospital ASH Independent Oversight Committee, April 28th, 2022 at 6 p.m. And we have met quorum. Others, when they join, we'll introduce them. So first, welcome. And does anyone have any disclosure of conflict of interest?
Hold on one second. This is Tim. I'm not a member. I was just stating that I was here.
Okay.
So I don't know if you counted me as making quorum or not, but I don't count.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So any conflict of interest? None being heard, let's go on to the last meeting review and approve meeting minutes. Did everyone get to see the meeting minutes that were sent out probably a couple weeks ago?
I did not. This is Kay Onsego. I didn't receive a copy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll get with Jackie again and try to make sure that you receive all information. And maybe you can get the copy just so you can keep track of it. Do I have a motion?
You didn't get a copy, Kay. And this is Natalie, and I'll motion to approve.
I did not.
Thank you. I'll put it in the minutes that you didn't get it.
Thank you.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
So moved.
And then, sorry, one more question, guys. I apologize. Can you tell me again Kay's last name? I know you've told me before. I'm sorry. I can't.
It's K-U-N-E-S.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we don't have, let's see, any update from ADOA, Larry? Are there any updates?
Good evening. No updates from ADOA this time. Any questions or concerns I could address?
No.
Okay.
Any update from any other IOC? Okay. Review of action item.
Sorry, Lori. I guess this is I probably do have to disclose the conflict of interest on the one subject. Okay, but I didn't do that earlier. Sorry.
Okay. So you'll let us know when you can't talk about something or be engaged.
Sure, we'll do. Mm-hmm.
So again, hopefully, Kay, you got a copy of the ASH response to last month's request for information or no?
I did not. No, I haven't received anything in over 2 months now, I think.
Oh, that's too bad. So quickly, you know, we asked write-ups are used. We asked about the write-ups, and basically they said that with the write-ups, a state of the IOC's February meeting, incident reports are utilized to document significant, unusual, irregular occurrences throughout the hospital. That would include instances where a staff member hears a discussion between a patient or where a patient shares something with staff that was considered significant. These are not write-ups as referred to in the IOC summary. Incident reports are not limited to patient events and may be related to facility issues, employee-related matters, or any unusual events on the property. Patients are not permitted in one another's room. However, patients are afforded as much privacy as possible within the civil and forensic hospitals, which require 24/7 supervision within secure locked facilities. Staff must balance ensuring the dignity of patients in the milieu and ensuring safety and security. I'm trying to read it quickly, Kay, since they didn't give you a copy. Patients are in need of legal support are encouraged to go through the proper channels to obtain this support rather than seeking such support from peers. Civil patients under Title 36, as well as all forensic patients as a result of their criminal sentencing, have access to both private attorneys and court-appointed counsel. Accommodations are provided to patients to have legal visits and legal phone calls in private. So, let's see, patients are always have the right to speak privately with their attorneys and representatives in person in no contact visit rooms or by phone. At no time does staff listen in, either in person or on phone calls. To them, the hospital said it's concerning that it was documented in the IOC minutes that the hospital policy seems to be generated by control and intimidation. This statement includes lack of objectivity. The summary from the IOC is unclear and does not actually reflect reference to hospital policy. Hospital policy requires staff to ensure patients have privacy during their communication with legal representatives during in-person and phone calls. The March 17th, 2020 IOC meeting seems to suggest the hospital does not believe hospital staff, IOC does not believe hospital staff should consistently monitor patient interaction within a secure facility. However, members of the committee have also expressed support for enhanced hospital surveillance to include audio capabilities. Such surveillance, where it feasible, would much more dramatically inhibit patient privacy. So let's see, the next one was asking ASH if they would hire a notary or allow patient volunteer to be a notary for patients. Hospital staff notarizes hospital specific documents such as Title 36 affidavits necessary for hospital operations and legal proceedings directly related to the patient care. Notary services for personal matters are not provided by the hospital. Hospital is state funded, so they, you know, we don't have the money for that basically. When a patient requests personal notary services, the hospital patient advocate determines the nature of their need and coordinates with social work to determine if the documentation is necessary for hospital operations. If it's personal matter, the PA offers to provide referrals for a traveling notary for which a patient pays. Patient utilizes the suggested notary on wheels, which has been on campus numerous times. Once this has been arranged, patients are instructed to let the PA know so the visit can be coordinated with security and the unit. The PA has also served as a witness for this process. Next, we asked about self-injury with the person with their eye. Why wasn't the patient on one-on-one? Patient was on one-on-one after the first incident. Unfortunately, it only takes a moment for the person to move their hand to their face, so even a one-on-one doesn't eliminate the risk. If self-behavior harm continues to be exhibited, a patient may require mechanical restraints. This intervention is the last resort and only utilized for an amount of time required before the patient is assessed to be safe out of restraints. It's a violation of patient rights to mechanically restrain unless clinically necessary. After a second attempt, the day indicated the recurrent desire to harm their eyes, the provider ordered mittens and a helmet with a face shield to, as well as finger food to eliminate utensils. And another one was about the patient getting recommended care after his procedure or the patient's procedure. The patient's medical provider and treatment team continue to offer appropriate follow-up care to the patient. There's a significant documentation of non-compliance by the patient with ordered and recommended treatment. The patient is being offered every recommended follow-up and refuses medical management that would improve healing. The patient continues to be seen for all needed follow-up and is encouraged to adhere to the aftercare recommended by the specialist. In Davao, hospital has preliminary conversations regarding their tablet. Their primary product is content. They do not provide tablets to inmates. In most instances, the tablets are provided by the correctional facility or the inmates. The hospital has provided information to Davao regarding their phone and internet service provider and is waiting to be contacted about the next steps towards getting an estimate. The next was the review of the patient record. And, you know, we found that it did appear to be retaliation and intimidation. The review and the conclusion drawn do not follow the operating procedures required when submitting objections to that. No vote was taken by the IOC in open session to request an investigation. The review of requested medical records does not constitute an investigation, nor is it within the IOC scope or guidelines to conduct one. Nothing in the verbal summary of the notes provided during the meeting substantiates retaliation or intimidation. The IOC wishes to request an investigation. The hospital requests this in writing as an outlined in the statutes. The hospital takes any allegation of retaliation very seriously. Respectfully request a retraction of the statement. This does appear to be retaliation, intimidation from the minutes. So with that being said, the person that reviewed the record is not on tonight because she had to work a psych shift. So I don't think we can follow up on that. I mean, it's open for discussion within the committee. Do we want to ask the hospital to do their own investigation of the patient records to see if they concur? Or what do you want to do? And we're open to guidance here also, Larry.
Well, it's certainly open for discussion. It's a response to your request. And discussion in your prior meeting. So it's certainly open for discussion within the committee to vet it out and figure out next steps.
I mean, I'll make a motion to have the hospital conduct their own investigation. And then once Alice is back on the meeting, we can discuss it with her as well.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I second.
Second.
Okay. That was Kay. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Okay. So move. We will ask the hospital to do their own investigation. And Charles Goldstein joined as well. And then we also have Summer Walter on as well. The last thing they talked about was in the notes discussing a follow-up comment in the recorded public meeting, talking about the documentation. A comment was said that they will probably lie. It was noted with concern that during a discussion in an open meeting, they will probably lie is referring to the hospital. The comment demonstrates a lack of objectivity, was not challenged by any other committee members, and was made in open session that was attended. At no time has any representative of the Arizona State Hospital lied to any member of the IOC. The hospital continues to provide any and all information requested within the scope of the IOC. So that was our response, Kay, to what we asked them about. So any comments? I'm going to pause for a sec. You can talk. I'm going to take a bite of dinner. Hold. So go ahead and talk amongst yourself.
I'm sorry. So let me rephrase what you're saying. But you're basically saying that the hospital's saying that they don't lie to the IOC?
Yes.
Yeah, she's trying to eat. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
In which regard? I mean, there's been times where I believe their responses are redirects and they don't actually answer the questions that we ask.
Yeah, who's speaking right now? This is me.
That's Kay.
It's Kay.
Oh, that's Kay. Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to know who was talking. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, they frequently redirect things back on us. I agree to that, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't. Other than, like, I know one of the questions we had asked is if Resolution Group violated HIPAA, and they said it didn't violate HIPAA because they only talk about the criminal index offense, which is untrue. I've talked to numerous people in Resolution Group who told me that they have to actually talk about their mental illness, their diagnosis, and how that played into their index offense. And, The hospital doesn't even mention that in their response. So I don't know if you want to call that lying or not lying. I don't, it's almost lying by omission, in my opinion. But I'm uncertain.
I was thinking the same thing, that it's sins of omission. The other thing is, I think we find that they, sorry, I have laryngitis, that the hospital skirts the issue or directs it in elsewhere, moves the conversation elsewhere. In some cases.
Yeah. This is Melissa. I think if it's something specific and we want to talk about, I'm just trying to think if we're trying to have a, you know, as collaborative as a relationship as we can have, it's probably not productive for us to project what might be said. I am not taking away if we are concerned with statements that are made and we feel it's omitting or skirting.
So I'm trying to be diplomatic as I take the notes here. And I said that part of the response was that they don't appreciate the comments in the recent IOC meetings. And then the IOC discussed that the hospital often omits information.
Well, I can tell you what I said when this was brought up to me. I called and I said, well, it would be really quite easy if you attended the meetings when something was said that you disagreed with or you wanted us to address, you could bring it up. But since you don't attend the meetings and I don't feel like I have to be your representative, then I'm sorry, this is what you get. And I mean, that's what I told them. I said, start coming to the meetings. We can have a discussion when things are said, correct it at the time or have a discussion. But I'm not their representative to try to anticipate what's going to be uncomfortable.
And
they're welcome to the meeting.
That's fair.
It's accurate that we have to make assumptions if no one from there is participating here. Like if it's a one-sided conversation, we do have to make assumptions. And it's not like we want to. We'd prefer to have it from the horse's mouth.
That's what I told them. Mm-hmm. I said, please come. You can correct things. As I said, you can give us information that may not be in the charts that we're not privy to, so we don't have to wait 2 months or a month or two to have that full conversation that could occur, you know, in a few minutes.
I feel the closer we get to calling them out on certain subjects, the more aggressive they have become back at us, saying that we don't have the right, or they, again, skirt the issue. They, you know, they really just don't say what's going on. This, you know, you're right. I guess it's just omission, but I just find it very interesting that they seem to be more and more upset with some of the subjects that have been brought up and that we've been trying to get information on. And anyway, that's how I see it.
Yeah, and I think they've always asked us to please bring up incidents of when we think there is any retaliation and we could discuss it. And that's what we did. And we, of course, we know we don't investigate. We're not the legal entity that's paid to do that, but we looked into it. And to the best of our ability, it did look like that to us. So. We'll talk after they do theirs. You know, it'd be nice if we could have an independent agency review it, because, you know, all the grievances and complaints except for ones of adult protective services or sexual in nature go through employees that work for the same department, right, or the hospital. Are the ones that are reviewing the grievances and complaints. So sometimes it doesn't look objective to us, I think.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, if we're asking to solve a problem and to look into something and we're being greeted with hostility, I mean, it doesn't really help anyone's case here, you know?
I don't know. Okay. So,
I've had similar issues at patient forums asking similar questions like, you know, why can't other patients be witnesses to notaries so that you don't have to pay the extra fees, or they can't provide answers. And at some point, like when I had brought up the And when I had brought up the fact that they were documenting whenever we'd have legal conversations amongst peers, they just basically shut me down. They said that, you know, we're just no longer discussing this. And that was, you know, and at the time, like, I felt like a lot of kind of animosity towards me, I guess. I don't know. Like, it's just this weird kind of, like, angry response.
Yeah.
I think that was what I'm looking for. It's there's hostility there for sure.
Speaking of the patient forums, I'm hearing, this is Dee again, I'm hearing that no one was made aware of this last one. No, it wasn't posted. Nobody really knew it was happening. I don't know if that's true. That's just what I heard. So,
well, that's true.
This is Barb. People were made aware of it. It happened to be Earth Day celebrations, and out on the mall, they were doing chalk art. So it was not very well attended, but it was a very productive meeting.
So we actually had a patient forum on Earth Day. This is Kay.
This is the civil side.
On the civil campus, though, Kay. The forensic one is May 13th at 9 a.m.
Okay, thank you for letting me know. They don't ever let us know these things. So May 13th at 9 a.m. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So we'll hear about the civil forum, but in a bit. So other than that, let me see where we are on our agenda. Follow up on previous ongoing discussions, administrative separation concerns. Melissa and I did go on the visit. We did talk about what our concerns still were, even after going on the visit. I mean, I don't know what else we can say, Melissa. We still don't see clear programmatically how that's allowed, right?
Right. Yeah, and we still don't have specific code information on what those physical conditions are supposed to be.
Yeah. So I'll tell you a few other things going on from the hospital. So the first thing was the person, and we'll go over it, but the person that had the Sentinel event, more choking, on April 15th is doing better. They're still at Valleywise, but they're doing better, and you'll hear about that incident. Dr. Bowen has given notice he'll be leaving the hospital as CEO. His last day is May 6th. They have not announced an interim CEO, I asked today. Let me see what else. I was asked if I had seen the reports this last week about the, I think, two or three patients that were, let me look. I was in New York, so I didn't see it. I didn't see local news. But there were some reports about patients, and they weren't really ASH patients. It's on the ASH grounds, so I think people may get confused about that. Three men in critical condition after overdosing at Arizona's public psychiatric hospital. So that was in Arizona Central, and they wanted to let me know that it happened at the correctional facility near the hospital, but it was not on their property. It did not involve the patient, staff, or visitors, and was completely unrelated to ASH.
It so appeared on the news and in the paper that it was not, that it definitely was not ASH patients, but that it was on grounds, but not, you know, like the periphery.
But I think DOC rents those buildings. So it was probably a DOC building, it was under DOC management, not under ASH management, where overdoses occurred. So I'm just setting the record straight if anyone talks about that. The other thing, there also apparently this week there was a lot of 12 News reported on ASH. Some had focused around the PSRB and the patient that got out and then subsequently committed a murder in a group home, but they were reporting. I didn't listen to it, so I don't know, but I was told that some of the stuff was just wrong. They reported that patients are in orange jumpsuits, which is not right. So maybe, who knows? I didn't see it. I did ask about staffing. I was told staffing has been better. They're paying double time for people picking up extra shifts, which is helping. I did another thing that's the outings are still continuing, the visits are continuing, and they're now starting food visits, which is good for the patients. I had a couple calls. One patient visit that me and another member listened to, it was about a patient that was very upset that they had a death in the family. And it was very traumatic. It was someone close. It was their mother. And they were upset that they weren't offered any counseling, grief counseling, support, anything. And when relatives came for a visit, they felt that they had filled out all the paperwork. And when the relatives came, I think they're from out of state, they weren't allowed to visit. And so I think there's a grievance, and they're looking into that grievance currently. I also heard from another patient that they were upset that they wanted to only talk to the CMO with their attorney, and the CMO insisted. So that was another complaint. Let's see. I did ask today because I saw there were quite a few forensic incidents, but it's one new patient that's struggling that's had multiple incidents on the forensic side. So it's unusual to see a forensic incident report. Usually it's mostly stock full of civil patients. So that was the hospital administration's update. Any questions or concerns about their update? Now, does anyone want to report on the patient visit, the forum visit, or any patient visits?
I can report, as long as my voice lasts, on the civil forum. The patients were clearly outnumbered by staff and me, Melissa, and Alice. The first patient to speak, I think, is from Desert Sage. I'm not sure. Talked about he does want to be in treatment, and he feels that the facility is run to the best of its ability. You know, although sometimes it's tough with the docs. He did say on rehab, on the rehab unit, the staff is pushing the patients to do stuff. But the patients want to lay around and do nothing, which a lot of that has to do with the meds that make them sleepy. Jason says people want TV games, the PlayStation 4, which apparently has Wi-Fi, so it can't be offered. But then he said the forensic unit does have PlayStation 4. He's looking for more than just a Wii. And Dr. Woods said she would look in to see if that would be possible. He also said that Public Clearing House owes him money, but it's out of date and it's like a few thousand dollars. So, and he wants it to pay for PlayStation 4. Jackie's gonna try and help him out about that. Jackie spoke about, they talked about rehab and that there's, that's open from 9 a.m. to 11:30 and then 1 to 3, sometimes nights and weekends. So there's what's available are games, movies, video games, pool, music, volleyball, basketball, pull-ups. The pool's going to open late May or early June. There's also craft stations, memory games, cards, and Sudoku. Then a woman, I think she's the one who's on Desert Shade, says she's seen inappropriate sexual behavior activity, and that comes after either Melissa or Alice asked that question and was told that that doesn't happen. So, and then this, another thing is the staff comes out and secludes patients in restraint, and the staff sometimes tears the, because of the restraints, the jackets are torn off. This patient said that Ash is here to help you, and they like to help them, and they want to see the patients succeed. That Ash wants to see them discharged and stay out for good. She wants something good to happen to her and the patients. She wants everybody to be able to take the masks off. She likes the food, but she complained that patients grab other patients' food. And apparently this was happens a fair amount, and patients spit on other patients' food or put it in the garbage. She wants this to stop. She also said that patients eat out of the trash cans. Her unit is pretty quiet. They get rewards. And if the whole unit's good and there's no drama, they'll get something like a cupcake at the end of the month. She likes the activities that are offered in rehab. And she likes that the beds are made in the showers, and she wants to wants them to be able, if they do things good, to get a chip for a dollar, which would motivate them to stay out of trouble. Let's see. Melissa, do you? They have a barber.
Yeah, that's what I was going to add. So that was good. They have a barber.
I was like, my notes were like, they have a bar. So a barber 3 times a week for all units. Is there anything else?
No, the only thing I was going to supplement was the first patient, I believe, was on Ironwood.
Thank you.
But you did a great job. That was everything.
Voice notwithstanding.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. I think we are on target to do some more patient visits, so I'll try to coordinate. So let me look at our agenda. There were, like I said, there were, again, a lot of unfortunate incidents where staff is getting hit a lot. It sounds like from Ash administration, staffing is better. So, but it's still occurring quite a bit, which can be hard to keep staff if they're getting assaulted. Here's one, the incident report we talked about last month had to do with the patient was on civil campus in the day room, and the patient was alert at the table with the meal.
Sorry, did you say the number? I'm sorry to interrupt.
It is Ash 2022-1500.
Thank you.
And the person checking the behavioral health tech said, "Are you okay?" Patient looked at the behavioral tech, but was unable to speak, appeared to be choking. That was at 12:50, medical alert was called, patient was responsive. Abdominal thrust was immediately applied, but initially unsuccessful. They continued efforts to dislodge the food. Patient became unresponsive. 911 was activated at 12:51. Code team arrived at 12:51, pulse and breath reading became negative. They transferred to CPR. Intermittent suctioning was done. Abdominal thrusts were continued. Food particles removed via suctioning. O2 was administered. Patient began having emesis, placed on recovery position. Radical pulse detected and respirations were noted. Suction continued. And then the EMS arrived at 12:57. EMS took over, transferred the patient to Valleywise in the ambulance. The patient has remained at Valleywise. And when I asked today, the patient is doing better. That was the sentinel event last month. Like I said, lots of incident and accident reports on the civil campus, but nothing, a lot of assaults, some assaults resulting in police being called and coming on grounds. A lot of foreign objects being swallowed, followed by trips to the emergency room. But, and one AWOL attempt. Let me see if I can find. Let's see if I had that pulled. Yeah, I was traveling. I just got back last night, so I haven't done as thorough a review as I try to usually do. Yeah, the AWOL one that I recall, the patient was off site when they tried to go AWOL for an appointment, but they were going off site for treatment. I don't have that. Okay, back to our agenda. That was sentinel events, accident and incidents. Remember, the next forum is on the 13th. I am unable to be there. I'll be out of town again, but I think we have some committee members that have volunteered. The next thing I was going to ask you, Larry, have we ever gotten a membership application from, was Ashley's friend, the attorney?
I have not seen one.
No, I wrote to the person and they were going to put in an application to join the committee, but I was just waiting to see it.
Okay. Would you like me to put the link, the application link in the chat for her? So if somebody could copy and send it to her again, that might help.
Okay. That would be good.
Sure.
And I don't see Ashley on tonight, but again, I will touch base with her. Any new business, anything you guys would like to discuss?
I do have a patient complaint that they would like me to speak during executive session, that you can reach out to this person. They believe that they're being retaliated against.
Okay. If I forget by the time we get there, Kay, remind me. Okay.
Okay, I will.
Legislation. What I know, the legislation seems to be going through. There seems to be appetite to make some changes at Arizona State Hospital in light of a lot of the news reports and complaints. I think the legislators are still getting emails from their constituents, which when they do, often I'll get a call saying I'm getting this call or that call. So I think that we will see some legislation passed. It'll be hopefully with a new administration or a new CEO coming in. Hopefully they want a more collaborative relationship with the IOC. So maybe we'll get some movement there. But like I said, you know, a lot of this stuff wouldn't happen if people were attending the meetings and they could respond in a timely manner.
Yeah, Lori, I had a question, and maybe it's just somewhere I can look up online, but the process for replacing Dr. Bowen, how that works.
Larry, do you know, does the Department of Health, so would it be the interim Department of Health would just appoint them, or would the governor appoint? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. That's a good question. I would have to ask around and figure out how they do that. I would imagine it would be, he would be appointed by the director of DHS, but
yeah.
I'm not 100% sure on that.
Okay. Would you like
to? Well, hasn't this happened before, Lori?
Yes, it has.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
And I just wondered, so we don't know what happened last time?
Well, last time what happened, it was Dr. Noriego and Dr. Lauren, blanking on our last name. It was, they were replaced because there was some unfortunate press or things going on, and they were replaced. So I'm not sure. I think we can ask what is the process and what is the timeline, if that's something we want to ask.
I would like to ask that. I would make a motion to ask that.
Okay.
Yeah, Melissa. This is, I just was trying to pull my phone out of my pocket so I could say something. It's like, yeah, I think we should just ask what the process is. It's always good to know and, you know, kind of keep it in the memory bank for if it ever happens again.
Can you guys remind me what the position is, what Dr. Bowen's position is?
CEO.
So as we're requesting. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So we'll ask that. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. So moved. So I think we're at the point we're calling to public comment, and then we'll adjourn to executive session after that. So do we have anyone from the public that would like to speak? And remember, if you'd like to speak, we'll give each person 3 minutes, and you can either remain anonymous or you can have your name in the meeting minutes. It's up to you. So members of the public?
Public, yes. I'm Rodney Woodville on Opinion Unit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just have 3 points that I want to bring up.
Rodney, what's your? I haven't started your timer yet, but what's your last name, and do you want your name in the note?
Oh, yes. Rodney Woodville.
Woodville. Okay, thank you. I remember.
B, not a B of V.
Thank you.
Okay. We have a problem here on our unit. Our Tech 4, who runs everything, she runs the whole unit. First off, I feel like it's insubordination because she tells everybody what to do. She even talks down to the nursing staff. But anyhow, she chooses who goes to the patient forum, and it's supposed to be a community vote with our peers. And she chooses people that even walk out of the meeting or just have 1 point on the agenda. Okay. Although one point that one of the patients brought up did cause a change, it seems it caused a big change. I'm not going to tell you what, because every time we say something we like, they take it away. So I'm not going to tell you what it was. Second, when I put a complaint against Jack, I can't say his name, but our patient advocate, I'm not supposed to use names, but when I put a complaint against our patient advocate, she said she heard that I wanted a copy of a receipt, and what I had left 2 messages on her phone and told my staff that I needed a copy of some legal work and an access letter, and she took a week, and it wasn't until I put a complaint in and called it a criminal complaint that she even responded. I claim that she's taken money but she's derelict in her oath of office. She's taken money for a service that she's not even providing. So she's defrauding the government for pay. Some committee was saying that the food was great here. My gosh. The other day, the fish was rotten.
I kept burping up and had acid from it. It was smelly, nasty. I've been complaining about the food heating unit. It's called a Berlagel. It's got a new name now, but
Dynex.
Our Dynex machine is way too hot. It's overheating the food. The rice is hard and burnt. And the kitchen doesn't know how to cook beans. They're always hard. And the bean burritos are always made with black beans. And our food is overheated. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Tim Berbrisco on Pinion.
You want your name in the mix, Tim?
Oh, very much.
I gotta ask. Thank you.
I was told by my guardian I was going to have an attorney come and see me, but now they now need a 48-hour pass when by law it's only 48-hour a heads up here for the attorney to be able to come see me. By law, it's only 24 hours notice. Also, there is they say that they take retaliation very seriously here. They might take it very seriously, but they do nothing about it. I'm being retaliated against very much so by two people. One's a doctor and the other one is a PA, and they are both females, and they are both in charge of me and my opiates that I use to walk due to being hit in the spine with a bullet. They're now tapering me off my oxycodone and said within 3 months I will have no more oxycodone access. They will leave me on my morphine, but I need that oxycodone for breakthrough pain throughout the day. I get it 4 times a day, but I'm getting a lot of echoes. That's retaliation, I feel, because I called both of them a couple bad names. And you know, if you're gonna work here, you gotta have a little bit thicker skin, because we're not right in the head, you know, supposedly that's what they say. I don't know, but if you're going to take what I say to heart to you about yourself, then there must be some truth to it. There's no phone book for us to look up attorney phone numbers or to try and find lawyers and, you know, look them up. When I had my social worker do that when I was on my last unit, which was Mojave, they just typed out lawyers and there were all these lawyer names, but no phone numbers. So, I mean, damned if you do, damned if you don't. So, thank you very much. And I would like a visit from you ladies, if that's possible. I appreciate it. And here's the next person.
Yes, I'm Mr. Charles Edmark on Pinion Unit.
Hi, Charles. Do you want your name in the minutes?
Sure.
Thank you.
I spoke about obtaining a second chaplain, Catholic, bilingual. And I should have shared, you know, how most people are very happy with our current single chaplain, Mr. Jim Morris. He's a Protestant, interdenominational. And please pray we find a Catholic bilingual chaplain. You're welcome to call me anytime at 928-351-7679. Call 24/7 as voicemail. And my second number is 970-305-5055. So we're going to send a letter to the bishop's office, also called archdiocese. We'll give them like 3 or 4 months to provide one. Then I might be directed to go to the Episcopalians or Anglicans. So please pray, meditate. I have a P.O. box also. There are a lot of Catholics and a lot of people who have English as a second language. It's happy spring, everyone. Thank you for your time.
Hi, my name is Isaac Contreras. And I do want my name on record.
Got it. Thank you, Isaac.
I heard you guys were talking about Ash investigating their own retaliation. The way it goes is Ash investigates itself and always clears itself of any wrongdoing. For example, on my case, it took 2 years for the restraint when they tied me up. They said I was looking at the camera wrong. I was looking at people wrong. I was doing allegedly a lot of things. And when Axis got a hold of it after 2 years, they even said that they sent it back to Ash, and Ash sent me the same letter. So Ash, I mean, if you look at it, we never win grievances when it comes to Ash. I'm missing a lot of property, and they just don't acknowledge it. They basically don't care. Now, also, Dr. Woods, who I gave him a notice of complaint to, my lawyer has, and we're okay. Filing charges.
Try not to, you guys use provider names. You can use a position, but just say a provider or even CMO, but try to stay away from names, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry. The CMO, I told her specifically that I did not want to meet with her because unless I had my attorney present. Now, she refused to acknowledge it. And again, she is on the lawsuit and on a notice of claim pursuant to ARS 12-821.01. And she still came and harassed me, was being disrespectful, and even asked for court order treatment, which, if you look at my record, I haven't got into no incidents or even haven't had no code grades, no fights, no nothing. She also gave me a paper, which is the questionnaire below, ask about things that might have bothered you. Now, I asked about if this was the common thing that they give to patients, and they said no, that this is not a common thing. So I'm wondering, why am I so special? And what gives them the right to basically, like I said, if I wanted my attorney present, why couldn't I have it? And the other thing is Dr. Bowen. Now, I'm not, I didn't hear why Dr. Bowen is leaving, because I know he just got that position and he is part of my lawsuit. The way I'm getting treated in here still is bad. No one to talk to. I'm not allowed to to be around anybody. I was the one that had the death in the family, which was my mom. And they did not do anything for me. So I'm still getting retaliated upon. And, well, it's like no one cares in here. But thank you. And, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Summer, I see you're on.
Yes, sorry. I was trying to hit the mute, the unmute, and my laptop was not cooperating with me here. So, I would like to speak. This is Summer Walter. I'm okay with my name being in the notes. And I just have to say that there is definitely retaliation and a lot of deflect. I've had actually a staffing today with the CMO and my brother's treatment team, And anytime there's a question asked, they spin it back as if it's a patient problem. When you're asking about certain treatment modalities, like why are we not getting him, you know, this treatment, or exploring this option or this option, I was actually told today, oh, well, there's nothing we can do to help them because of it's a personality disorder problem. So my concern with my sibling is that he has displayed, you know, and I'm his guardian as well, he's displayed some dangerous behaviors and said some very dangerous statements, and they are still wanting to entertain ideas of discharge for him. So I'm very concerned about, I mean, it's very known that, you know, the hospital discharges patients that are unsafe to be put back into the community. And it seems that there's just zero interest in wanting to keep, you know, the patient safe, get them the treatment, but also provide them, you know, with safety back into the community, which directly, you know, would be, you know, protection for us as well. It just seems like there's zero interest in keeping the community safe. And they just, anytime you bring something up, they just want to hurry up and discharge. That way, you know, they don't have to deal with you or the patient anymore. Mm. And that's about, you know, all I have to say about that. But things, they're just not good. There's just no type of, you know, let's come together to create, you know, a plan for, you know, patients, whether civil or forensic. There's just no interest. It's like, you just be quiet. We're going to do what we want to do, and we don't want to hear anything you have to say. And that's incredibly frustrating, because as guardians and loved ones of those that are ill, you know, we spend a lot of time with them during visits and telephone conversations, and we're just completely disregarded, completely. Mm.
Oh, thank you, Summer. Okay, do we have anyone else? Okay, without that being said, we can adjourn to executive session. So what that means is everyone, except for staff members, not staff members, committee members can drop off, and committee members should stay on. Now, Kay, if you stay on, the rest of the patients that are with you need to leave the room.
They have left.
Okay. Okay.
So has everybody else left?
Lori, it's Kim. It's just about 7:30 and I have to jump off. Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Kim, for joining.
Okay.
Hi, all. Hey, Lori, sorry. I had a patient want to file a complaint, I guess, with the IOC. His name is Kareem Hackler, K-A...
Hold on one second. Hold on.
Okay.